This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فمن بعد. My brothers and sisters, I want to tell you five things. Five truths about life. The first truth is, we must all suffer from two kinds of pain. The pain of discipline or the pain of regret. All of us. We must suffer from two kinds of pain. The pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The pain of discipline is painful, but regret is tragic. The pain of discipline ends and converts to pleasure. The pain of regret is permanent. Number two, everything is possible. Everything. Whatever you dream of is possible, but everything has a price. You will pay the price when the price looks like an investment, not when it looks like a cost. Perspective, whether it looks like investment or cost, depends on your perspective. And perspective is a function of position. So change your position. Number three, it is a myth that there is not enough time. We all have enough time. What we don't have enough of is focus. Focus is the art of ignoring fluff. Focus is the art of ignoring fluff. What is fluff and what is essential depends on what you want to achieve in life. If you don't have a life goal, you can never have direction. Because you have no goal, no direction. And you can never succeed in reaching that goal. Number four, choices determine success and failure. Where we choose to spend our time and energy, who we choose as friends, who we marry, what we choose to read, who and what we give importance to, and even more, who and what we choose to ignore. What we choose to respond to and what we choose not to respond to. Who we respect and why. What we are thankful for and what we complain about. Whether our TV is bigger than our bookshelf. All of these are markers of success or failure. Finally, it is true that it's never too late. But equally true is that options reduce and the cost of change increases with time. The more you delay, the more costly and painful change becomes. Until you reach a point where you will not change because it's too costly and too painful, even though you know you must change. Quick decision making or speed is a competitive advantage. So the sooner we start, the better. Remember that it is our life. And only we have control over it. And that is why only we are accountable for it. To do all these things, these five things, you need three things. One, the ability to concentrate, which means a long attention span. Not a short one. The ability to concentrate. Two, the ability to conceptualize your experience. And three is the ability to communicate. Communicate effectively and powerfully. That means concentrating on one thing without allowing anything else to distract you. Reading extensively and widely to develop a varied and rich vocabulary. And learning to get along with people. That last one, learning to get along with people, is the enabler for the other two. Because without people, you cannot achieve anything in life. If there was somebody who could possibly position himself as being in a position where he did not need anybody, that was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He could have said, I get wahi from Allah, I don't need you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him and said, Shavirhum fil amr. Limada? Shavirhum, limada? What do they know that I don't know? By definition, he is the Rasul, so he will know more than them. But Allah is saying, Shavirhum fil amr. For what? Because you need people. Without people, you cannot achieve anything. But the interesting thing is that people do things for their reasons, not for yours. So effective communication, therefore, is the ability to help them to see what is in it for them in what you want them to do for you. Effective communication is the ability to help them to see what is in it for them in what you want them to do for you. Everyone listens to one station. What's that station? WIIFM. What's in it for me? This is not about fooling people. This is not about telling some spiel. No. This is truthfully explaining to them how they can benefit. Meaning, you are concerned for their benefit. So, monitor yourself on these parameters. And you can tell if you will be successful or not. How long can you concentrate on a task without looking at your phone? These are the parameters to monitor yourself on, right? How long can you concentrate on a task without looking at your phone? How many books do you read every month? How many of your sentences begin with and or so or I was like this, I was like that? Because you have no words. All these mean that your vocabulary is deficient. You need more words. Then let me ask you a question. Do you like watching a documentary more or TikTok and shorts? Which? Do you like to spend time with yourself? Like to. Or do you find loneliness to be a problem? Do you like to introspect? Like to. Or do you need to be surrounded by talking faces all the time? Check, 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 check. Finally, how much time do you give to something worthwhile versus shopping for things you don't need and watching sports? I won't mention the other things because they are haram anyway. Monitor yourself on these things. Ask yourself, what is it that you are investing? Those of you who have children, and some of you are, inshallah, may Allah grant you beautiful children. What are you investing on those children? By investing, I don't mean some fancy school which you are spending a fortune to send them to, or how many gadgets, does your son or daughter have the latest iPhone? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about investment in their akhlaq, investment in their tarbiyah, investment in making them capable of succeeding in life. For example, in this masjid, we have a maktab. 4 days a week, 2 weeks, 2 days, two hours a day, 4 days a week after school. How many of you send your children to the maktab? If you are not sending, why are you not sending? It's not a money business, believe me. I've said this many times before. No child will be turned away because the parents cannot pay the fees. No child. So if your child is not studying in the maktab, it's not because of money. So why is your child not studying in the maktab? You have time to take your child for soccer practice and for this practice and for football practice and for God knows what practice. You have the time to teach them judo and karate and God knows what, but you don't have the time to bring them to the maktab to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How will you answer Allah? Especially when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said for us a hujjah. What is the name of that hujjah? Ghazza. Ghazza is hujjah. لكل مسلمين في العالم. Because in that same Gaza, they have flattened everything. They have bombed everything to rubble. They have no homes. They have nothing. But in that rubble, in the middle of that pile of stones, there is a teacher and there are children who are studying from that teacher. They are teaching them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are teaching them about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are teaching them aqaid and teaching them fiqh. And these children have just been bombed out of their house. Now, if they have the time and if they have the concern to take their children and that they should not be disconnected from the deen, what is your excuse? What is your excuse? Finally, write. Learn to write and write well, because writing is crucial, because that is what distinguishes us from animals and enables us to build on the work of previous generations. All creatures have languages. Birds talk to one another, animals talk to one another. All creatures have languages. They communicate, they experience things, they remember things, some of them for a very long time. They even teach some of them to their offspring. That's how predators teach their cubs to hunt. The tigress teaches young cubs how to hunt. The leopardess teaches her cubs how to hunt. So they do all of that. But none of them have the critical tool to transcend the time and generational barrier where their experience can be recalled, relived, and learned from by generations long after they have gone. They don't have that. And that tool is writing. It's not speaking. It is writing. In the 300,000 years that our species, the Homo sapiens, have existed on the earth, we pass over centuries like you would pass over days and come to about 5,000 years out of 300,000 when we find the first writing, Mesopotamian cuneiform script invented in Sumer, which is in present-day Iraq, in about 3,200 BCE, which is about 5,000 years ago. And that can be traced without a break to the present current-day phonetic alphabet. Incidentally, that was the period in which Ibrahim alayhi salam lived, in the same place, Mesopotamia. Thanks to writing, we have countless works of literature and poetry and science and technology and history that color the tapestry of documented human history, that inspire and light the fires of idealism and encourage us to great enterprise 1,000 years after they were written. Words that bring tears to the eyes and light up our lives. Writing is the thread that connects us to those who lived long before us, but because of whom we are who we are. Those who write are remembered. Those who don't disappear. So learn to write well. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to live our lives in a way that pleases His Majesty and Grace, and where we will be a means of khair and barakah for ourselves and for generations which come after us. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ